We are on a mission to empower busy women with the tools and skills they need to grow successful, profitable, and purposeful, handmade, creative business.
A business that they are excited to jump out of bed for every single morning.
A business that allows them to quit the day job and start living life how they want to live it.
Welcome to the Handmade Business Podcast with your hosts Anna Maria and Lindsay Warren. Hi everybody and welcome to this week's episode of the Handmade Business Podcast. Today, Lindsay and I are going to be talking about the benefits and how-tos of email newsletters. It's something that Lindsay and I and practically every e-commerce business podcast, anything that I even know on the internet talks about as being a vital section of your marketing and just generally, you know, building that know-like trust. So we're very excited to be talking about everything to do with email newsletters today. We're gonna talk about the benefits, the how-tos. We're gonna talk about, you know, where to talk about your newsletter and, you know, some how-tos inside your newsletter, how regularly to send, what to put in, things to avoid, other places to go and look for some more advice. So it's going to be quite a jam-packed episode. But before we begin, if you do find this episode helpful, we would love it if you could share it with a friend who might also benefit from hearing the things that we're talking about today. Please don't forget to leave us a review wherever you're listening in, as this really does help us get the word out there about our podcast. And this means we can continue our mission to help as many busy women like you grow a successful and profitable handmade business. And if you sign up for our newsletter, you will also get your hands on our Year in Review Planner, which is a downloadable resource to help you set up your shop for success, the link to which can be found in our show notes alongside all the tools, websites, books, and anything else we reference in today's episode. So hi Lindsay.
Hi Anna, I'm really excited for today's episode. I think we've got some great content to share.
Yeah, and Lindsay is a perfect example of a great newsletter because she has a really consistent, well-signposted, well-structured newsletter. So if you're not on Lindsay's own newsletter, make sure you go and get your hands on that too.
Oh, thanks Anna.
Oh, you're welcome. So, I know you started off, Lindsay, as talking about your whys of having an email newsletter. So do you want to just kind of jump into that?
Yeah, so I'll start off with my first one. So for me, when people sign up to a newsletter, they're basically, I feel like they're a hot lead. Our inboxes are so full up these days. People don't sign up lightly to newsletters. And so I feel like if you can get someone on your subscriber list, I feel like you're halfway there with them already. What are your thoughts on that, Anna?
Yeah, that's actually one of the things that I've kind of written down as well is, you know, if you are going to sign up to a newsletter, it means that you're already invested, like you say. You're already invested in that company and you want to hear more about them. So from a business perspective, like you say, they are a hot lead. So it's an opportunity to get into their lives as many times as you feel is necessary, whether that's once a week, every 2 weeks, once a month, whatever it is, it's an opportunity to build more engagement and kind of help connect with your customers, build that know, like and trust. So yeah, completely agree.
Definitely. So for me, another benefit is that once you get in somebody's inbox and they open that email, there are no distractions. So if you've got photos of your products in your, you know, in your email, hopefully they're going to want to go and buy them. But at that point, there's no distractions of like Etsy saying, oh, and what about this and what about that. So for me, that is a real big why you need a newsletter as well, because it's really, that newsletter is all about you and your business.
Yes. And, you know, the same thing with like Instagram or Facebook. There's always another post, another reel, another bit of thing. Whereas, yeah, like you say, a newsletter is you're just on that page.
Yeah.
There's nothing else there.
No.
So it's the perfect opportunity to talk about whatever it is that you want to talk about. And I haven't actually written it down, but I just wanted to kind of mention about algorithms and newsletters. So obviously the algorithms on like social media platforms are they're a bit all over the place, you know, they're always changing and it's a bit it can be a bit scary sometimes because they'll just go, by the way, we've changed everything today. And you're like, oh, okay, gotta rethink the whole entire marketing strategy. And with newsletters, you do, for the most part, avoid that.
Yeah.
You kind of do. However, there was an update this year, and I know, and we'll mention her later on, but Amy Porterfield talked about the Apple algorithm changing. So if you have, I'm not sure if it applies to Android as well, but I know it definitely applies to iPhones. They made an update to the algorithm in your newsletters. So sometimes newsletters that were always coming into your inbox actually started coming into your junk. And I know a lot of people were in uproar about it. So that's another thing that I think is important to do, to just kind of keep on top of knowledge of what's going on in the newsletter world, because that way you'll understand when things change. But a side note to that, that has been the only change that I've known about since I've started in business. So we're going in like 8 years now. God, is that 8 years nearly? Yeah, it will be. So that just shows how, yeah, there might be changes, but they're very irregular. So it's the perfect opportunity to almost guarantee you will get into the eyes of your customer.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And the thing is, when it comes to social media, there's a few other things to sort of bear in mind that we just can't control. We have no control over who sees our posts. Like you say, it's all down to the algorithms that constantly change. So, you know, we could be putting out 10 posts a day. We don't know that our ideal customers, you know, the people that are interested, are actually going to see them. And the other thing is, you know, I've worked with people, I've had a couple of coaching clients that have just been locked out of their Instagram accounts just like that and had to start from scratch. Well, if you've got an email list, you're not going to lose all those potential customers. So, you know, it really is such a good thing to think about building up your email list, because you're so much more in control. So I have got one more why. I don't know about you, Anna. Have you got any more whys to share?
I have, but go on. Let's do yours.
So I suppose my last one was that your ideal customers can get to know you better. When you know, and we'll obviously later on, we'll go into what you could include in a newsletter. But when you do include things about you and people hear your words, and it's perhaps how you would speak and how you would write your social media posts, all these things are ways that you build up that know, like, and trust, so that people are ready to buy from us. So I feel like it's quite, you know, when you can share that little bit of in snippets of you in your newsletter as well, that can be a real good bonus as well.
No, that's great. Well, I guess I'd written down 5 points, which we've mainly just covered, really. But one thing I did mention was about the credibility. Like, having a newsletter that you consistently send shows that you're credible to that hot lead, to that customer. Like, it sets you up as, oh, you know, this person still exists.
Yes.
Because, you know, handmade businesses, unfortunately, do come and go. You know, people start and then they stop. But when you have a consistent newsletter, you are showing to that hot lead, to that customer, that you're still there, you're still doing the thing. And, you know, here's some information that you might like, or, you know, sales or whatever that you might be doing, or new products, whatever. But you are showing, you're you're showing your credibility. And I think that that's really important. And because there's no distractions from anything else, you know that that person is going to be consistently seeing your content, and you're going to be front of mind whenever they think about something related to your product. They're going to be like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I saw that in my email, I'll go back to that. Because that's what I do. That's what I do, not just handmade businesses, but also for, like, you know, suppliers. When you know, at that moment in time, like, I buy my paper, my cardstock, and my care tips that they print out for me from a company called printed.com, and they are consistently sending me emails, and, you know, maybe 70% of the time it's not relevant to me on that day. I don't need new cardstock or whatever, because I've already stocked up. But when I do, I'll go straight to the newsletter and I will find the thing that's relevant to me and I will click on the links. And most of the time, I don't actually, if it's an important newsletter, I don't get rid of it. I have got so many newsletters in my, in like a folder for things that I'll go back to in the future. And if they weren't consistently sending me those things, they wouldn't be in front of mind. I wouldn't be saving them. I wouldn't be keeping them. So yeah, credibility.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, Anna. I think that's so important as well.
And then the other thing that I'd written down was about kind of what we've just talked about with the, you know, the algorithms not changing, but email newsletters are long term.
Yes.
Like, they're here to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I reckon that Instagram and Facebook, I don't know actually about Facebook, but I reckon, like, on the whole, metaverse or whatever they're called now, Meta, are here to stay, right? Yeah, they're here to stay, but they are distractible. We can't guarantee the changes. But with email newsletters, they're another thing. I mean, they're like the original computer thing, you know, Got Mail and all that kind of, there's a whole film made on Got Mail and all that kind of thing. So they're here to stay. So if you don't already have one, you require an email newsletter, because it is a fundamental part of your marketing strategy, and the changes are minimal. And like we've just said, they've got so many plus points.
Definitely. I definitely agree with that, Anna.
So, well, do you remember the first newsletter you ever signed up to?
Oh my goodness, no. That must have been years ago, Anna. My memory's not that great, you know.
I don't think I can remember the first, like, proper newsletter. I mean, I'm subscribed to all sorts of things. I mean, you mentioned before we came on the call about, like, Wilko's. Like, we just subscribe to everything.
Yeah.
But usually it's only the things that we're really interested in.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And we can be on, you know, newsletters that, yeah, that was something that I wanted to say as well. It really bugs me when a company that's not posted for ages, like ages and ages and ages, and then all of a sudden they just, like, pop into your newsletter and they just start selling immediately.
Yeah.
And I think it's fine if you haven't posted for a while because whatever's been going on or whatever. But if you are going to have a break and then start again, my word of advice is don't instantly start selling, because that annoys me. What do you think?
Yeah, I suppose you have to be, there is a balance there, isn't there? And I think probably the most successful newsletters are the ones that are consistent. They become part of people's routine and something that people look forward to sitting down and reading, you know, with a cup of tea or coffee, that kind of thing. That's, I think, when you can do that. But yeah, I do agree that if you haven't posted for a long while, then a little kind of intro back in again is probably quite a nice way to go.
Not Megan Arlo, a company that I've followed for a long time on Instagram. They did that. They had a massive break for ages. I mean, it could have been over a year. And then she obviously decided that she wanted to start it up again. So she sent an introduction back, you know, explaining why she hadn't been posting for a while or why she hadn't been sending emails for a while. And then from then on, she then, you know, began back to selling and signposting and all that. And that was fine. because it was like, okay, yeah, that's fine. I still like you. I still follow you on Instagram. So yeah, just a word to the wise there. If you are gonna, if you've already got one and you're gonna restart it again, which we obviously recommend you do, just introduce yourself back again.
Definitely.
So the next thing we were going to talk about is how to get subscribers. Do you think we should go on to that next?
Yeah, I think that sounds good, Anna.
So what is the thing that makes you want to subscribe to a newsletter?
I think most of the time there's some kind of incentive, isn't there?
Yeah.
We, you know, people offer a freebie, a discount. We maybe like the content that the person's putting out on social media and think, oh, you know, I like what this person has to say or what this person's selling. I want to find out more. I want to know when they've got new products coming out, new courses, you know, whatever type of business. It's really all about what's in it for us, isn't it?
Exactly. And for the person that doesn't know what that would be called, the jargon word for it is a lead magnet.
Yes.
That is the terminology. So if you ever hear that again, that's what it is. A lead magnet is the thing, the incentive, like Lindsay said, to get you to subscribe to the newsletter. So I kind of wrote down a little schedule of like how the flow should go. So first of all, I think with a lead magnet, it's very important that you understand who your target customer is.
Yeah.
Because when you understand who they are, then you can understand what's going to benefit them for a lead magnet. And then once you've done that, then you can kind of figure out what you're going to actually specifically do. And obviously, in the handmade business world, there's opportunities there to do a bit of market research. So to kind of understand not just what your target customer wants, but also what your competitors are doing, like other people in your market, what they're doing. What do they offer as lead magnets? Because if they offer it and they're doing well, then the chances are you can offer something similar to your customers and it will probably also do well. So what are your favorite kinds of lead magnets?
So I suppose if I'm looking to buy a product, then a discount is a nice way to think, you know, that will get you on the newsletter. And obviously then you'll get a discount off the item that you're purchasing. So that's obviously a really, for me, that's generally an incentive when I'm going to buy a physical product. If it's more something business related to me, then getting some free knowledge, that's what I'm after then. What about you, Anna?
So I think even with physical products, I have still signed up. Yeah, obviously the discount code is probably the most obvious one. And I think that that's a really great one. Because, you know, who doesn't want a discount code?
Yeah.
Like, of course you do. But other ones that I've seen work really well are art prints. If it's kind of related to the, and it doesn't have to be a shop that sells art prints. I've seen a girl who sells baby headbands and she had created a really beautiful digital art print. So obviously she sells baby headbands. It's got nothing to do with art prints, but she knows that the person that's buying, so this is where the target customer and understanding comes into it. She knows that the person that's buying the baby headband is probably going to have a nicely decorated nursery or, you know, place in their bedroom where it's all about the baby. And this art print would work really well in the nursery.
Yeah, so that's a really good idea as well.
Yeah, so it was like it was the perfect thing to do. But like I say, it wasn't relevant to her. It wasn't specifically the product she sold, but it was specific to her customer. Another one I've seen is like mini challenges. So so for example, I follow like they're a healthcare handmade products, but they're a healthcare brand. You know, like not healthcare, skincare brands. And they had like a mini challenge for like a week where every day they'd give you a new thing to do for your skin, whether it was like, I don't know, water or I don't know. It was various different things.
Oh, that, yeah, that would get me to sign up too.
Exactly. So, but it was relevant to their product, relevant to their customer, but it wasn't what they sold.
Yeah.
But they incorporated, I believe they incorporated their skincare products into the challenge. So you could kind of like bonus points if you did this as well. And then last two things I've seen are like tutorials. So tutorials of how to use the product. I think they work really well because especially if it's for things like skincare, for example, or, you know, candles, like where in the room to put the candles, or, you know, this person might actually be interested in feng shui. If they're interested in candles, they might also like feng shui. So it's like a tutorial of how to feng shui your home.
Yeah.
And then the last one is patterns, like digital patterns.
Yeah.
So if you already sell things like, I don't know, bags or purses or, you know, things like that, you might offer a free digital print, not print, pattern that somebody can make at home.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
What do you think of those?
Yeah, I really like them. You had a bit more of a comprehensive list there than me, Anna. I've obviously just had my head in the discount. But no, they are really good. They're really good freebies as well. Definitely good lead magnets there. Yeah, they would definitely pull me in. Or perhaps just not taking as much notice of the lead magnets that have been available. And hopefully, I think that's really good that you've shared all of those, because it would be really good inspiration for people to think, well, maybe I don't need to give a discount, but maybe there's something else that will entice people into my business.
Yeah. And what I'll do is in the show notes, I will put a small list of a few different things that people can, you know, maybe use, and you can just copy and paste it into a Word doc and put some ideas next to it. Don't know.
Yeah. Good plan.
Did you have anything else to say on the how to kind of get your subscribers with a lead magnet there?
Well, I suppose there's the lead magnet, but then there's also other ways of getting subscribers, isn't there? So talking about it on your social media. I think if you want people on your newsletter list, you have to talk about it all the time. So I would recommend talking about it weekly, really, as much as you possibly can, and adding onto a link tree on Instagram so people can easily sign up, and keep directing people there and talk about, you know, depending on what you're offering with your handmade business, put it on the ends of posts. You know, so if you sign up to my newsletter, you'll get 10% off this item when you place your first order with me, or when you place an order, you'll get this downloadable, or you'll get this, or you'll get that. You have to keep talking about it over and over again. Imagine nobody's seen it, because you will be getting new followers all the time as well, and they won't have seen it. So the worst thing you can do is post about it once and then never mention it again, because no one will notice it. So regularly talk about it is my best bit of advice.
And if you have an Etsy shop, or even just a physical standalone, standalone website, like a Shopify account or whatever, I recommend that you have a photograph dedicated to your sign up. So like, you know, I actually have it on Memories and More Gifts, like want 10% off your purchase, click the link in the description and it, you know, will take you to the sign up page or whatever it is I say. So having that extra photograph, putting it in your announcement page, putting it in your descriptions, like Lindsay just said, talking about it on social media, your Pinterest account, you know, put it at the top of the header on your Pinterest account. You can put it there as a link, on your Facebook, everywhere. It should be everywhere, because like we said at the start, these people that sign up are your hot leads. These are people interested in you. So if you're going to be consistent, you've got the opportunity to create more of a know, like, trust. And even for people that aren't ready to buy right now, they'll probably be ready to buy later.
Yeah, this is it. So I've got some how-tos of how. So we've given you information on why you need your handmade business, how you're going to get subscribers. So the next step for me is how are you actually going to physically send out the newsletter. So I thought it'd be good to mention a few of the different platforms and a few of the first steps that you need to think about to create that newsletter. So shall we go through those, Anna?
Yes, please do.
So there's lots of different platforms out there where you can actually use a free account to create your newsletter. So the ones that I've had experience of using are MailChimp and MailerLite, and they're free until you hit between 1 to 2K subscribers. So you can have those accounts for quite a long time, depending on how quickly you grow your newsletter list before you even have to pay anything, which I think is great. Have you got any other platforms that you want to mention there, Anna?
ConvertKit.
Yeah, that's another one.
And HubSpot. That seems to be one that everybody's talking about at the moment. They've got like a whole CRM kind of, you know, thingy me bob, and they've taken over the podcast world as well. Everybody's signed up to HubSpot now. But yeah, ConvertKit seems to be a very popular one. And I'd written MailChimp as well.
Yeah.
Because MailChimp seems to be like the old school one, like the one that's been around for the longest.
Yeah. And I think probably MailChimp is a real good starter one, because I think a lot of the other ones you do have to pay for. So if you're just getting started with your email newsletter, it's really good just to, you know, have a go with the free one, see how it works out for you before you perhaps decide that you want to invest in something, you know, that has more features and things like that.
Yeah, it's quite a basic one, MailChimp.
Yeah.
But like
it
you say,
it does the job, doesn't it?
It does. And it's got a good amount of people that you can send to before you need to pay. So
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've got a few little steps that when you do get signed up to your whichever platform you want, at your newsletter platform, there's a few steps to think about. So the first thing that you need to do is a landing page. So a landing page is basically where you'll collect email addresses. So that's got to be your very first starting point. And then what you want from there is an automated email response. So say, for example, you've got your lead magnet, whether it be a discount tutorial or whatever it is you're going to offer, that automated email response can deliver your lead magnet. And then that way, you've already done the work. It's kind of all there set up, because the last thing you want to do is have a job where you don't want to be going into your email newsletter account every day trying to, you know, see who needs to be added and all that kind of thing. So they're really the first little steps. And then after that, on most of the platforms, you can set up an email template for your newsletter. So once you decide, you know, you can add your photos and your text and logos and all of that. If you set yourself up a template, when it then comes to actually writing the newsletter, it's a much quicker job. So I thought I'd just share them basic steps. Have you got anything to add to that, Anna?
I think that was great. I think the fact that you talked about a landing page as well, because that's another like jargon word. Yeah. Like, not everybody would know what a landing page is, because, you know, we've said this before. Why would you know? Why would you know what a landing page is and a lead magnet? These are not everyday words.
No.
I think that's really good. And what do you use anything as like a template of how to set up your email? Do you have a template?
Well, generally in MailChimp and MailerLite, I use both, because I have one for my handmade business and one for my coaching business. And there's templates in there that you can use. So particularly in MailChimp, you have to be a bit careful, because some of them you have to pay for, but they're not that much money. But to be honest, if you start off with a basic template, you can add to it. So it's not like it's got three photos and you wanted five, for example. You can just add things in, you can take them away, you can duplicate things. So really just starting off with quite a basic template, and then you can just change it around as and how you want, really.
And what about like the links at the bottom and stuff? To what do you put at the bottom of your emails?
So you do need to go in and add the links to those, but most of the templates will have all the little bits there for you to add your relevant links. So you can add your Instagram, your Facebook, Pinterest, website, all that kind of thing. So you can add a whole range of links where you want people to go and find out more about you, really.
Yeah, I think it's really important that you do that. Do you have your address, your home address on them?
I tend to just put like the town more where I live rather than my full address. I have done in the past. Just depends what you're comfortable sharing, really. If you have your own website, you're probably going to have your address on there anyway. I know in the past there's been different fields and stuff, or, you know, like if you send a PayPal invoice, you might have your address on.
That's true.
There's just various different places you might have your address, but it just depends on what you're comfortable sharing. So you definitely don't need it on there if that's something you're worried about. I don't have mine on.
Yeah, I think that's actually really interesting, because on my newsletter, I took it off. Like, I just have, like you said, the town. Yeah. So I just got like Leeds on there. I don't even live in Leeds, but I'm in an LS postcode. But yeah, on the back of my parcels that I send out, all of them have my return address.
Yeah, this is it. So, you know, when you are running a business, you can't kind of, unless you set up some kind of PO box, you can't really not share that, can you?
Yeah, and you're right, it is on the dispatch emails that you send out. But that's really strange how I felt uncomfortable with it being on my newsletter, but yeah, it's fine that it's on my parcels. That's an okay thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's weird. Do you use Canva at all?
I suppose the only way that I use Canva is for some of the graphics I want to put in the newsletter. That's how I would use Canva.
Because, and I'm just going to have a look, I feel like I saw somebody talking about newsletter templates made in Canva, and I've not had chance to, let's have a look, email newsletter. So I'm just literally going into the search bar. Now, I do have a pro account on Canva, so I might have access to things that, oh yeah, typed in email newsletter, and it's kind of given nice little structures of how you could structure your, but then I guess if you're doing that, would you then have to build in the links? You could build them as hyperlinks, can't you, in Canva?
Yeah.
So if you're struggling with how to kind of, even if you just get inspiration, which you can also get on Pinterest, of how, you know, what things look nice where and how and all that, yeah, just maybe have a look in Canva for how to structure things if you want to. Did you have anything else to add onto there?
No, I think that's the end of that list, really.
So, well, my next question then was, how regularly do you send your emails?
So I don't think it matters, really. You can send weekly, fortnightly, monthly. I know there are some people that even send them daily, probably not so many product businesses, because I do get annoyed when they send a bit too many, and then I'm more likely to unsubscribe. But I think one of the most important things is to be consistent with it. If you can be consistent with sending out the newsletter, and so people just know when to expect it, I think that's one of the real keys. It doesn't matter if it's monthly, that's fine.
Yeah, I think that I completely agree. It's all about who your customer is.
Yeah.
So I'm subscribed to Abraham Hicks's newsletter. They send me one every day.
Yeah, I do get that, actually, and I don't mind that. I like that.
Exactly.
It's fine. Yeah. But it's, there's okay, not many I want like that.
Exactly. And I think most of them stick to a kind of bi-monthly, like, say, every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That seems to be the sort of sweet spot for handmade products. I'm subscribed to Dear Mushka and Laird and Long from Etsy, and they are both every 2 weeks, unless there's a specific reason. So I think Laird and Long at Christmas, I think they send one out every day for like the 2 week run up, because they're, you know, promoting a new product every day, or, you know, not a new product that they've just brought out, but a different product from their shop. But they do it in a very, it's okay kind of way. Like, it's like, I'm not bothered by it. And then like business emails, sometimes it can just be once a month, but it's a consistent once a month, you know, it's on the first of every month, and I know that it's going to come. So yeah, it's finding that sweet spot. And actually, you just mentioned a word that I haven't written down about unsubscribers.
Yes.
I have a thing with unsubscribers, and it's the same on any, you know, Instagram, wherever you are, if somebody unsubscribes and you've put out a piece of content that is completely in line with who you are, your mission, your vision, your persona, and that person unsubscribes, they're not your person.
No, that's really good advice, actually. That's what I was thinking. If I see that a few people have unsubscribed, I'm like, that's okay. They're better that they're not on my list, taking up space, because I want people on my newsletter list that want to be here and want to hear from me. So yeah, I have no problems with the numbers going up and down. That doesn't worry me at all.
Yeah. I know that Emily from the Being Boss podcast, she swears quite a lot in her newsletter, and she'd got some people like messaging her saying, you know, why do you have to put the F-bomb in? And, you know, but it's who she is.
Yeah.
Like, it's her persona. And if, you know, 99% of the people on her list are okay about it because they knew when they signed up that that was what to expect. If you then are offended by that, that's okay. You can be offended by that. That's absolutely fine. But then that's not her person. So no. You just have to be okay with that. And when it comes to like open rates, actually having people on your list who are more likely to open affects your algorithmic like whether or not you're going to be put into somebody's junk.
Yeah, it does,
basically. So it's better to have people on your list that you know are going to open, because then you know you'll come into their inbox, and that affects your overall open rate. So yeah, just take that, don't take it to heart, just think, okay, that's fine, like Lindsay said.
I mean, and some people, I've seen some businesses, they will send you an email and say, they'll kind of give you a warning, oh, we've noticed you've not opened our newsletter for a long time, so, you know, unless you hit reply or something like that, we're going to delete you. So it's not good to have people on your list that never open your emails.
Exactly. Those companies that you're talking about there, they're literally thinking about their algorithmic conversion rate. So they don't want you on there if you're not going to open anymore. And another thing as well, actually, on that subject is about certain days of the year, like Mother's Day and Father's Day. I'm not sure it's been around forever, but I feel definitely in the last few years, if you send products out that are specifically targeting those days, that could be really triggering to some people. And so I know that companies now are being very careful about who they send things to. So I actually get emails from Etsy, not on the high street, or like companies like that. They'll send me an email saying, if you don't want to receive a Mother's Day email, hit this button. So it's like you've not been removed from the list, but you've kind of gone into a different list where they will not send an email to you. I'm not sure if you can do that on a basic plan, but it's just something to kind of think about when it comes to, because, you know, if you're making a handmade product, chances are you might make specifically for those occasions, not necessarily, but you may do. So just something to kind of think about, like, you know, some things can be triggering.
Definitely.
What's next on your list?
So we've got this far. What are we going to put in the newsletter? That's next on my list. So for me, what I want to start off saying about what you're going to put in there is that these days, the most successful emails are not all about buy my stuff. The ones that, you know, marketers have got a lot cleverer, and even big brands and big shops these days are including extra value in their newsletters. So I've got a few examples to share, and I know you might have a few newsletters that you like, Hannah. So Crafters Companion, they're, you know, big craft retailer. Quite often they have different, like they'll perhaps have a sewing pattern or a craft tutorial and things like that. So they're adding, you know, they're including lots of free knowledge about crafting and things like that. They're not just buy this. Again, Wilko's, we briefly mentioned this earlier. So in the UK, this is like a big home and garden shop, you know, that's in most of the towns. And I think I ordered off there online for something. think that was in lockdown, paint or something, you know, when we're all painting the houses in lockdown. And so I got on their email list and I didn't come off. And the reason why was because actually I quite liked that. I look forward to their emails because they don't just tell me what garden furniture or garden products they're selling. They'll tell me what I need to be doing in the garden. And as someone's not very good at gardening, that's quite helpful. Or they'll have like decorating tips and or styling tips. There's always something of extra value that makes me want to read the newsletter, see their products, and not just delete it. So they're a really good one for me. And then just going back to Amy Porterfield, who we both really like, don't we, Anna, that she has a lot of freebies in her newsletters. There are often freebies in there. So again, makes you want to open them up and stay engaged with her and her brand. So what about, what have you got newsletters that you want to mention that you really like, Anna, any in particular? Or
yeah, I love the newsletters, like you say, that are, that I know me.
Yes.
Like what you just described with Wilco, they know who you are, basically. Yes. So they're not just going to sell to you, they're going to say, well, it's like I said with the baby headband and the art print. It's like, yeah, here's something I know you'll appreciate.
Yeah.
And I appreciate being appreciated.
Yeah.
So any newsletter to me that will pop in with some extra value, or even if it's like, you know, signposting me to posts that I might have missed on their socials.
Yeah.
That, again, they know I would appreciate, and they are just reminding me like, hey, we talked about this in, you know, we've talked about this on Instagram, or there's this new blog post or this new YouTube video, whatever. I don't mind that being in the newsletter if I've missed it, or even if I've not missed it, you know, it's fine. I'll rewatch it again, maybe, or I'll save it for later. It's a good place to save it for later. Yeah, I appreciate adding value to whatever it is that they're already selling. And again, it's like that building that know, like, trust kind of thing. Newsletters that I really appreciate are ones from, they're kind of business related. No, they're definitely business related, but they're Etsy related. Marmalades. I really appreciate Marmalades. That's the Etsy SEO website. And their emails are so informative. Every time they send an email, I'm very happy about it. Like, I'm like, okay, what's new? Yeah, tell me some new information. The same with Later, who I don't actually have Later. I use Preview for my Instagram scheduling. But Later's emails,
oh, they are so good.
Oh, God.
Yes.
So I was so happy when they send an email because I'm like, something's happened. Tell me some information.
Yes.
And what's another one? What's another one that came into my head then? Marmalade, Later, and it's gone. Etsy's actual, yes. not necessarily their newsletter, as in where they're selling their products. I mean, not that I don't like looking at those. I do, because I like looking at the pictures and the way they've structured it, but like their Etsy seller newsletters.
Yes.
Because there's something important that's happening, or there's a top tip, whatever. So if you're not subscribed to that newsletter and you sell on Etsy, you need to be on that newsletter. But yeah, like I mentioned before, Laid and Long, they're very product related, but I find them inspirational. I'm interested in what they're talking about. And Dear Mushka, she very much talks about new products, but also directs me to Instagram posts that I might have missed. And I love her Instagram. So very happy to, yeah. But so it's all about adding value.
Yeah. So, I mean, handmade business owners might be thinking, well, that sounds all very good, but I sell pretty things. How am I going to add this extra value? But I think there is actually a lot that you can do. I know I used to subscribe to a lady that done sewing patterns, embroidery patterns, this kind of thing. And as well as like showing what latest patterns she'd had out, she'd also include like a picture of a dog on the beach and things like this. And she at the time she lived in Cornwall, and that's like one of my favorite holiday like destinations. It's always been like a favorite place. And so I would really enjoy getting her emails, because there'd be a nice picture of the beach, and she wrote really well. There might be a picture of like different flowers of the time of the year, and it was a really lovely newsletter to get. So I think, you know, what you can take from that is that it doesn't have to be that you're telling people how to do something in that kind of way, adding value. It can be that you're just making people feel good. Maybe you're sharing a picture of you out and about doing something, and you're helping people get to know you and that kind of thing. So there's a lot you can do with a newsletter, but the one thing I would avoid is just having products saying buy me, add something else, whatever your something else is.
And I think even if you do have very product heavy, like Laid and Long is the jewelry company on Etsy. They're one of the biggest jewelry companies on Etsy, and they are quite heavy on the, we've got a new product, look at this product. But they do it in such a nice way that I'm not bothered by it, because I love their imagery. I love the way that they talk about stuff. So it doesn't bother me. And because I am their customer, it's like they've written it for me. So I think even if, you know, every 2 weeks or once a month you do send an email where you talk about your products, if you're doing it in such a way that the, you know, the photographs are beautiful, and there is one, you know, beautiful is all in the eye, in the what is it? Beauty in the eye. Beholder. Could not think of that metaphor then. It's like, it doesn't matter, because it's for your customer. So your customer's going to appreciate it. You're still adding value to their life because you've shown them a nice image.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And like we said, if they're not ready to buy right now, being consistent, even if it is with products, new sales, whatever, you're going to be top of mind when they do decide to buy something that's relevant.
Maybe that birthday coming up, or an anniversary, or whatever it is, you're, like you say, keeping in mind. I do think a really good thing for people to do as well is to start in their own inbox and see, you know, what do they enjoy from the newsletters they get? You know, what is it that appeals to them? Because we've just put our opinions here on what we like, but other people might have completely different things about the type of emails that they would enjoy. So some of it is to really, I think the main thing, like you probably touched on before, is to know your customer and what they're going to want to see in that newsletter. But just seeing what appeals to you, what's working with other companies, what kind of titles they use, what makes you open up that email, all those things are things to learn when you're thinking of setting up your email list and things like that. Do you agree, Anna?
Yeah, and I actually just thought of another thing that somebody sends, and they are a handmade business, is quotes.
Yeah.
Like boosting motivational quotes. And again, it's lovely. Not necessarily to do with their business, but I just like the fact that they've sent me a nice quote, and I'd read it in the morning and I'll be like, oh yeah, that's nice. I like that. Thank you. You've added value to my life.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah. It doesn't have to be, like Lindsay said, something where you're teaching all the time. That can be a lead magnet, but it doesn't have to always be teaching, helping. If you can do that, and that's something that you enjoy doing and it's relevant to your business, then great. You know, more power to you. But doesn't necessarily have to. What do you think of things to avoid?
Well, I think one of the things is to try and be consistent so that you are part of people's routine and people know. I think that's one of the things. I think...
What would make you unsubscribe?
So in lockdown, I was getting emails from Swan Electrical Place, and I liked them in the beginning. And they were one of the ones that they had some recipes and all sorts of stuff. And I was like, yeah, this is good. But then they had some kind of sale and they were just emailing every day, every single day. It wasn't just a few extra times to remind you of a sale, which I'm always happy to know about. But, and it wasn't just for a week. It seemed to suddenly I'd got all these daily emails trying to sell me something. And I was like, no, I'm done. You're filling my inbox is too much. So that's just my trigger if it gets a bit too much.
Yeah.
People do like daily emails, and like we've said, there is that one that we like because it's inspirational. So, but it depends on the content of that daily one. I think that's just the danger of you can overdo it if you started to get in people's faces just a little bit too much.
Yes. And I think I've got one like that with, you know, Shein.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. It's like, I feel like it's five times a day.
Yeah. Yes. Because I know I've ordered stuff off there for Grace and, oh, yeah, they're always in, have this discount and buy this and, oh, and I'm like, go away.
And it's like, oh, this sale's closing in 5 hours. No, it's not. It's closing in 10 hours. And it's like, oh my God, like, make your mind up. Is your sale closing in 5 hours or 10 hours? Which one is it?
And then the next day, oh, our next sale is on. And
Yeah. So too much. That's a thing to avoid. Unless it's going to be for your, like we've said, it's going to be something that's relevant to who the person is.
Yeah.
I also am personally, I like to read words, but I don't always like to read so many words in a newsletter. So I think when things are broken up, so it's like words and picture and quote and words and picture and quote or whatever it is, you know, like that kind of structure. Or like Marmalade's, for example, and I am just using Marmalade because it's just come into my head, but like they bullet point things and add links.
Yeah.
And so it's well structured. Same with like Amy Porterfield. It's well structured and it's easy on my eye. Amy Porterfield uses GIFs as well. Yeah. To kind of make it a little bit interactive as you're scrolling through. So I think avoid just word heavy.
Definitely.
I mean, I was going to say, unless your customer really appreciates that, but I don't think. I might be wrong. Maybe there are customers out there that really want to read loads of words. But I think for handmade businesses, you're probably going to be interested in photographs as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not too many words without, you know, paragraphs and, yeah.
Definitely. And I think, I know that there's been research done. And these days, because we're bombarded, aren't we, on our phones with the constant, you know, posts and social media and information, it's said that we only take in about 20% so of what we actually read. So by having those little tiny paragraphs broken down, you know, with pictures and things like that you've said, Anna, is definitely the best way to help people really engage in the content that you're sharing.
Did you have anything else on your list?
No, I think I've kind of, yeah, I think I've shared everything really
well. I the last thing I put was Amy Porterfield, the Marketing Made Easy podcast. So what I will do is I will do a search and I will find all the relevant newsletter episodes and I will link them in the show notes so you can just click straight through. And if you want some more step-by-step really in detail about newsletters, highly recommend. And she also has great freebies as well. Like downloadable, definitely. As in related to newsletters.
Yeah, definitely.
Those are her lead magnets so that you're subscribed to her newsletter. Like,
yes.
It's very meta, but there we go. So, yeah.
I think we ought to just, before we finish, we should mention that the podcast does have our own newsletter, didn't we? So we only pop in your inbox once a fortnight just to let you know when the latest episode is out and to let you know about the freebies that we've got. Welcome.
Well, today that has been. I'm really excited by this episode. It's I always love to talk about how to's and get down and dirty with the ins and outs of stuff. And like I said at the beginning, if you're not already subscribed to Lindsay's email, you definitely should do, because her emails are extremely informative, greatly signposted, well structured. So yeah, go and sign up for Lindsay's newsletter as well, which I will also, it's always linked in the show notes, but I will extra double highlight it in the show notes, so you make sure you go and get that too. Well, thank you everybody for listening, and we look forward to speaking to you again in 2 weeks.
Yeah, take care everyone.
Take care, bye.
Bye.